Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Networks. One of our more interesting interviews over the last few years was with a fellow named Travis Clark and his Clark Crew Barbecue. Travis kind of hadn't spent a lot of time on the competitive barbecue circuit before he hit the big time at the Royal. This segment of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. So now let's go to my interview with Travis Clark.
How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So that's a big win, Grand Champion at the Invitational.
Oh, yeah. That was my dream contest to win ever since day one. I said that's the one I wanted.
Well, you got your bucket list going then, man.
I did.
That's good. Tell us a little bit about your history, Travis, on where and how you started, you know, cooking and barbecuing and stuff.
Well, 5 years ago, we were in Kansas City doing a kidney walk for a good friend of mine for... You know, they had a kidney benefit walk sure. going on up there, Kidney Foundation. And as we were walking through the campus up there, I could smell barbecue. And everybody was going, man, I don't know what it is. And I was like, that's barbecue. I mean, I could just smell it.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked around, and it happened to be the same week in the American Royal was going on. And never even heard of the American Royal other than the livestock side of it. And we did a little research, and we ended up swinging down there on Sunday before we headed home and just kind of walked around. And I was amazed by how many people there was. You know, there's 500 teams.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we walked around and drug the kids around and ate lunch there, and I met Rod Gray there, and I talked to him for a little while, and by the time that thing was done, I had convinced myself I was going to buy a Jambo, I was going to start a team, and I was going to take Rod's class that next spring, and I did just that.
And you were hooked.
Yeah. We literally drove home from there, not knowing anything about it, never cooked a brisket or anything in my life, and we were coming up with a team name on the way home. So,
good for you.
I mean, in the very next year, that was our 10th contest, and we reserved it. You know, so yeah. it was pretty special.
You must have something going for you. You got some general knowledge there somewhere.
You know, I've always grilled. You know, I've always been good with a grill and had a knack for cooking. You know, but I just never done competition really. So.
Well, it's a little different.
Yeah, it is. But at the end of the day, good food's good food.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. When you're practicing, Travis, do you practice with the intent of, like, I'm going to take this, you know, whether it's brisket or chicken or whatever it is, I'm going to take this to competition, or do you just practice to kind of keep your skills sharp?
Well, if you want the truth, I've never practiced.
Really?
My first brisket, my first pork butt, my first rack of ribs, my first chicken thigh was all done at a contest. My very first one. And I took a 10th in chicken, second in ribs, and middle of the pack and fourth in brisket. I've never done it. Now, last year, I took the month of November off and kind of toyed around with some different flavors.
Yeah.
And a couple of different techniques that I was wanting to try. So I guess you could kind of call that a practice. I did that one time. But other than that, I never practice. If I want to do something, I do it at a comp.
No, there you go. That works.
And the beauty of that is you kind of give it the old Pepsi challenge. You know, you do in chicken, you know, you do one pan of chicken the way I always do. And if you want to try something, you do it different. And you can lay them down side by side and say, yeah, this is better, or no, this one's better.
Well,
you know, so
there
that's
you
how
go.
I've always done it.
Well, I like that. I mean, I've had to do that on TV a few times when we didn't have proper planning. As I always like to say, proper planning prevents piss poor performance. But we had a couple of recipes that I just did live on TV, and they came out okay. So,
yeah,
you know, what the hell?
I just don't have the time to practice. You know, I work a full-time job, and like this season here, you know, for example, the last weekend I took off was February 25th. you know, I cook every weekend. I compete somewhere. I mean, I don't know when I would ever practice.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't stop.
No, not when you get on a circuit like that, whether it's barbecue or horses or race cars or whatever. You're kind of making both the competition and your practice time into one thing.
Absolutely.
You kind of have to do that. So what's one of the things you really like about doing the competitions? I mean, obviously the competitiveness, I got that, and you like barbecue, but what are some of the other things you like about it?
You know, the people. You know, I mean, some of my best friends that I have, I've met through barbecue. I mean, they're just such good people, you know, and I just enjoy it. You know, you see them, you can get that friendly banter back and forth, and, you know, we're all willing to help each other, but at the end of the day, we got the competitive edge, and we want to try to win, you know, and it's just fun, you know. I mean, like last weekend, we were all in Bentonville. You know, there's 70 people. We all go out to dinner together. You know, it's just like a barbecue family. You know, you just, very few people have I met that are not good people in barbecue.
That's a big ass table at a Cracker Barrel, buddy, with 70 people.
Yeah, we had a lot of people. I think we about filled 3/4 of that restaurant. So.
Well, we've been known to do things like that too. What does your wife think of all this?
She's not a fan.
Really?
She enjoyed it, but, you know, these 2 seasons, or 3, I guess, now that we've really chased it hard, it's just very trying and, you know, it's just time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't take a family vacation if it's not tied in with going to a barbecue, you know. But on the other hand, my kids have seen the nation coast to coast for the most part. You know, not a lot of kids can say that. We always try to tie something fun into it, but it's still just a lot of work. You know, every single night we do something with barbecue, whether it's making sauces, filling rubs, trimming meat, cleaning a trailer, loading the trailer. It's a 7-day-a-week thing, no matter what. And that's hard, you know.
Did you create your own rubs or did you use off the shelf stuff?
Everything I use is off the shelf.
Okay.
You know, I was making my own sauce there for a while, and you know, I haven't even been doing that. You know, everything I'm using is mostly my sponsor stuff, you know, that I can. You know, now I have blends of it. You know, I mean, I'm using this one and this one and this and that, but I'm blending pre-made rubs into mine, you know, so.
Well, actually, that's pretty refreshing because I think people are kind of, you know, I don't mean to be.
Everybody gets to thinking there's a magic rub or a magic sauce.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell people, you know, all the time, they say, you know, if you had to have one rub, what would you do? To me, it's Eat Barbecue Zero to Hero. That's my go-to rub.
Right.
I use that thing on 3 meats. That's 70% of what I use.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just a well-balanced, awesome rub. You know, people say, hey, you know, what's the best? You know, we've been one of the best teams or the best team in ribs for 3 years. You know, we're top 3 every year in ribs.
Mm-hmm.
People always say, what do you got to have to do there? Get Blue's Hog Original. You can't go wrong. People say, oh, it don't work down here. It does. We've won all across the nation using that. I mean, it's just so, you know, it's just a good sauce. You know, you don't go real heavy with it. You can't even tell that that's what it is. It's just good stuff.
Well,
you know, people just don't believe that you use it out, you know, that you use it like that, you know, and it's because there's so many good products out there. And I've been really, really wanting to develop my own. There's so many guys put so much money into so many good products that it's just so much easier to use them.
I think you're smarter that way. I mean, years ago, I had my own spice line. And that, I mean, they were good. They were really good. But it takes an awful lot to market those things and get them on the shelf. It really does, you know.
Absolutely. You know, and it takes a lot of time. You know, and if you're going to have your own deal, you need to spend a lot more time trying to push your own deal. And that's just something I don't have, you know.
No,
so,
I understand.
You know,
well,
and the beauty of it is everybody's stuff that I use is I'm friends with them too. You know, so, I mean, I love to. Love to push their products and help them, and they're good to me because of that. So.
Oh, sure. Well, like I was going to say, it's kind of refreshing, though, because there is no, you know, the old term secret sauce, magic rub, any of that stuff. It's really not, and most all of them start with salt and pepper. So figure it out from there. You know what I mean? Okay.
Salt, sugar, pepper.
Yep. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to come back in a few minutes and talk more with Travis Clark, who was the grand champion at the Invitational at the Royal this year. And so we'll leave you with a little Mark Chestnut music till we come back. Don't go away.
Well, it sure feels good to come in here and just pull up a seat. A frosty mug of a cool one helps to beat the heat. These old dog days of summer, Lord, I'll be.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Brother Jukebox, Sister Wine, Mother Freedom, Father Time.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation on the Envision Radio Networks. If you want to email us, it's quite simple. BBQ@salempdx.com. And also you can contact us through our new website, which is Barbecue Nation, BBQNATIONJT.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, Barbecue Nation with JT. Now back to our interview with Travis Clark.
Did you say this was your fifth time to the Royal and you won it? The whole thing?
Yep. Yep.
That's pretty incredible.
2013 was my first year.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I mean, some of those people have been slogging around in Baby Ray's barbecue sauce for 35 years there. You know what I mean?
You know, we've been fortunate there. We've been top 10 every year but once. I mean, we've been right there. You know, we reserved the open. We were fourth last year, I think, in the Invitational, or year before, I can't remember. I mean, we've been up there. But
sure.
We've won two categories. Last year, we won ribs. Our first year there, we won 80 brisket there. So, I mean, it's always been a good place for us that I love going to. You know, I just love doing it. It's my favorite contest.
How is the Royal different? I mean, I know it's got a lot of hoopla and you got so many teams there, but how is the Royal different than, say, something you would, you know, run up to Tulsa to compete in?
You know, I mean, obviously your expectations aren't as high,
right?
You know, cause there's so many people there. To me, it's kind of a stress-free contest, man. You can go and, you know, my biggest thing is how am I going to get to Darren's for a tenderloin and then get over to Jeff's for the nacho bar? I mean, you're trying to figure your stress is how you can make all these dinners and lunches and cocktail shots and everything else that you're supposed to go to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my biggest stress of the whole weekend. You know, it's just so much fun. It's the only place you go cook where all your friends are every year.
That's a tough life, Travis, I'm telling you.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. Well, tell us about the products you use. You mentioned some of your sponsors, but you can go ahead and use their, you know, marketing name or whatever here, but
you know,
do you have a particular beef you use or ribs or anything?
Yeah. You know, beef, you know, I exclusively cook Snake River Farms.
Okay.
You know, I struggled my first, you know, I had some success in brisket. I just wasn't consistent. You know, I, like I said, we knocked out a 180 perfect score brisket at the American Royal with a select brisket my wife bought at Walmart that night because my brisket was bad, you know, but I mean, I was just really up and down in scores. So 2 years ago, I switched to cooking Snake River Farms exclusively, and my scores have improved dramatically because of that. You know, pork, I cook all Compart Duroc with my ribs and my pork butts.
Yeah.
And then chicken, I've kind of bounced back and forth around trying to just find good chicken. I cook a lot of smart chicken. That's mostly what I cook.
You know, I got with Blaine Hunter, we had a conversation about smart chickens. I said I never met a smart chicken.
Yeah.
You know?
Ain't very smart to get killed all the time.
Yeah. I mean, they look kind of stupid as the way they even move. I can say that because we raised chickens when I was a kid, but I never met a really, you know, smart chicken.
The struggle I have down here is, you know, you get the smart chicken, whether it's organic or the regular, and it says right on the package, you know, always fresh, air chilled, never frozen. And the only place I can get it down here it comes in froze like a block, you know? So
yeah.
I don't think it's any better than anything else. It's just a struggle to get chicken. I've been working with Keith Sisk out of Kansas City as KC Competition Meats. And, you know, he's been sending me my chicken up there, and it's smart chicken goes through it. And it's been so much better than trying to get it through a grocery store. You know, that's, you know, he does a great job and sorts through it. And, you know, the thighs that ain't good enough for competition, they run them through a grocery store.
Sure.
You know, so when you know you get them in from him, at least you know you have competition quality meat. You know, that's helped me a lot, you know, from running all over town trying to find chicken. That was my biggest stress, you know, so. It's now all my meat comes to the house, and that's a huge time saver.
Well, the really good guys on the tour, and I've talked to a lot of them over the past few years, they all seem to say the same thing. They don't want to spend, hours and days looking for their meats. You know, they look for
something. My time is worth something, you know. Yeah. If I got a $150 brisket, you know, and let's say one's bad. Oh, okay. You know, I'll take that thing, cook it elsewhere, grind it up for hamburger. I don't care. Cook another one. You know, what's $150? What's my time worth to spend hours every week running around trying to find something?
Exactly.
You know, those are the hours that I need to be sitting at my table, getting my meat prepped and ready. And, you know, I'd rather spend that time trimming and making sure all my stuff's right. You know, so, I mean, it seems silly to say, hey, I'll grab another one and trim it. But that once in a while case, I've had to do it one time out of 40 comps this year. Cook an extra one because it wasn't bad. You know, if that means I don't have to drive around and spend, you know, 20 hours a week looking for meat, that's well worth it in my books.
Do you ever notice how you get a lot of friends when you have extra meat? A lot of them, you know?
You know, we're to the point now where we're getting less and less people that want it. We used to take it to our neighbors, and they're like, oh, my God, now you go take them 20 pounds of pork, and they're like, we still got 5 pounds from last time.
Right,
You know, we're literally running out of people with it.
I'll tell you what you can do, and here's a little off-the-record advice, even though we're on the air right now. Find a local radio station that you like and take it down to them because they will devour it. There is never live warm bodies in a radio station that won't eat. Right, David? Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have this thing here in our studios. We've got 6 radio stations in our cluster right here. Right in the middle, there's this thing called the red counter. And real quickly, before we go to break, you put food on the red counter, and somebody, usually Tricia, will send out an email saying there's food on the red counter, whatever it is. And within about 7 minutes, it's all gone.
7?
Yeah.
Try 2.
Well, the sales department gets there first, and then the sports guys. Because, see, the guys that are on air, they have to wait till they can get a break.
True.
You know? But yeah,
the smell brings them all.
Yeah, they do. It's like vampires. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes with more of my interview with Travis Clark, competitor and all around good guy, and now teaching barbecue.
Brother jukebox, sister wine, mother freedom, father time. Since she left me by myself, you're the only family I got left. I go down to that same old cafe where I try to wash my troubles away. I'm still down and I'm still all alone.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Glad to have you back on the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation on Envision Radio Networks. Hello to everybody in Chicago today.
This portion of the nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Quality, consistency, and flavor. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Now let's get back to my interview with Travis Clark, a winner at the Royal in 2017.
The guy's lived kind of a dream life, though, when it comes to the barbecue competition, because he didn't, like, sweat over, you know, Weber kettle drums for 30 years. He kind of got in it and played it smart and did it right, I think.
Wow.
And he's to be congratulated like that. When you cook for your family and friends, do they take the liberty of giving you any crap, Travis, when they don't like something?
You know, not too much. I mean, if I break out the grill at home, which, you know, that's what I love to do is grill. I do that. Nobody gives me much crap. It's usually pretty good stuff if I do. I catch a crap from the people I work with because I don't cook barbecue for them daily like they think I should.
Right. No, I get that. But I noticed that a lot of my people and my friends and family, they'll always be complimentary, but it's always, but you know, if you just did a little more. Well, you cook 500 freaking pounds of brisket this week and see how you do it, you know?
Right.
That's kind of the way, I look at things these days. I want to tell you real quick here, if you do want to contact us, my microphone's gone wonky. It's Barbecue Nation, BBQNation at KXL.com, or you can send us recipes. If you do send us recipes, Dave and I will select the ones we like. We'll publish them on Facebook and that. And we are coming up with a Barbecue Nation actual website away from the radio station stuff like that. So you didn't know we were doing that, but you're actually doing it. Recipes at KXL.com. So there you go. We're talking with Travis Clark, the grand champion winner at the Invitational. What's it like when you go up for a callback, you know, and you're the one, you're the number one dog?
You know, I don't know. I was joking around there. We were sitting there. We had got a 180 call in chicken,
mm-hmm.
and I knew we had a great cook, and they got down to it, and they said, man, you know, it has to be 1-2 barbecue. And I thought that he probably had a really good shot because he'd had a couple calls. You know, and I sit there telling my wife all the time, I was like, how am I not top 10? You know, how would I not be top 10? I mean, I cooked that good, you know, and I was just kind of floored by it. And then when they called my name, it was honestly like, whoa, you know, you just sit there for a second and like, wow, this is happening, you know, and it was just a dream come true. Like I said, if you'd ever asked me, and anybody that ever asked, what's the one contest you want? American Royal Invitational. That's what I've always told them.
Did you get to keep the big check?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But did your wife spend the big check?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No, I don't know. We put it in the old barbecue fund and used to go compete all the time.
Oh, sure.
So did you frame it and hang it somewhere?
Well, it's great. One of those great big ones.
We got some of those great big ones. We have tons and tons of those big fake ones that when you got your first one, you thought they were cool. And now that you have a lot of them sitting around, it's like, what do you do with all this stuff? I mean, we have... The amount of trophies is just unbelievable, and I love them, you know, but you just don't have a place to put them.
Right. Well, here's a hint for you. When we finally sold the ranch, and I had literally, like Travis is saying, I had closets full of trophies, some going back from when I was a little kid.
Whoa.
Because my folks would save them all, you know. Now, I kept my world champion stuff. I did keep those, and they're now in my attic. But the rest of them... I took them down and gave them to the local 4-H club. So they could use them at their shows because all they had to do was change the nameplate. So it saved them.
I could absolutely do that with our bowling trophies. You know, we're fortunate enough we have a lot of very unique ones and very cool ones.
Right.
And I'm a trophy hunter, you know. I mean, you know, we got banjos. I mean, we got cool stuff. I hope to someday to be able to use that in a restaurant. That's my goal.
Sure. No, but if you ever want to just get rid of the kind of the minor ones, you know, the ones that are the Shawnee Open or something like that from your neck of the woods, then local 4-H or, you know, local competitions would, it's better than chucking them. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that works out pretty good. What do you want to do next, Travis, on your barbecue, like, adventures in the world?
You know, right now I've been focusing on catering. I've been buying equipment, everything. I'm really wanting to get into catering and work towards a restaurant.
Well, there you go.
that's kind of my goal. As far as competing, I'm just trying to close this year out and win another team of the year. You know, we're sitting at number one again, and I want to close it out and try to remain team of the year.
So is it with the KCBS, when you do that, do you have to retire or win the trophy three times and then it's retired forever type thing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh.
I think you just keep doing it.
Okay. Well, I know there's a couple competitions where if you win it, and some golf stuff too, like the U.S. Open trophy, if you win it three times in a row, it's yours. I mean, they get a different one type thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, this will be our second team of the year if we can close it out, and I don't think there's many that have ever done that, you know, so I'll be very happy to do it. That's just a dream of mine to do again.
Okay, well, that sounds good. So now is the part of the show where I kind of ask you some abstract questions, and just throw the answer out whenever you're ready, okay? No trick questions, I promise. Which would you rather barbecue or grill? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Christmas goose, a Yule log, or the Easter bunny?
I'd probably try an Easter bunny, but I'd probably have to go with turkey.
Okay. All right. Fill in the blanks on this one. Liquid smoke should be used for blank.
Nothing.
It's unanimous. It's unanimous. Yay.
It's all cosmetic.
It's all cosmetic. I love it there. what? I'm just thinking about all the different answers we've gotten over the last couple of years.
Oh, I know, right?
And they're pretty good, though. But Travis is spot on in this stuff. Have you ever barbecued in the snow in your underwear?
Not in my underwear. No, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, well, it works. Okay. Which do you prefer for your own personal use? Gas, charcoal, pellets, or stick wood for fuel sources?
Grilling with charcoal, barbecue with stick wood.
There you go. Do you guys use many pellets back there? A lot of people do?
You know, not far from us is, you know, Cook Shack here in Ponca City.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not far from me, an hour and a half from me or something. So there's a lot of Cook Shacks around here. You know, I don't use them. I have a couple, mm-hmm. You know, and I got a couple Traegers that I love at home. You know, I use them all the time.
Sure.
I just, never have competition. You know, that playing with fire makes me happy. You know, I like it.
I like that. He's probably got a blowtorch.
Oh, I'm a pyro. So you can stand back there and with fire, man. It's just awesome. I mean, it just makes me happy.
The very first thing I ever did for television, this was taped. We were making kind of a pilot and, I had built these big cinder block grilling bays, and I had six of them, kind of a U-shaped thing. It was really cool. But the fuel went out. And so Hardy, my director, who's also a good friend, he said, oh, here, well, I know how to fix that. So one of the guys that worked for me told him something. He ran up to the barn in the golf cart, came back, and he fires up this torch, and he's like, and they're all just glowing red, man.
Wow.
It was a beautiful shot. It was great. So, you know, don't trust anything on television is what I'm telling. Yeah,
flamethrowers.
Yeah. Led Zeppelin or Slim Whitman?
Led Zeppelin.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. If they made you supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
No gas. Nope. I would make sure you could use no gas in barbecue.
In at home or just competition or ever?
Competition.
Okay.
Competition.
They're actually opening up, though, aren't they, for gas grills?
I don't think it'll ever happen.
Now, they were saying they were going to make a division at the Royal Forum, kind of as a site show. Yeah,
they made a deal like that, but KCBS won't adopt that.
Yeah. I think it's more of a sideshow.
If I was in charge of barbecue everywhere, I would make it mandatory that you grill something once a week at least.
Well, there you go. Need to. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have any problems with me.
Nope.
I mean, it's easy to do. Okay, if there was one thing you would change in barbecue, what would it be?
I would make it more public friendly.
Okay.
You know, I would make organizers try to be smarter about how they lay teams out to where you could interact more with the public.
Sure.
There's not enough of that, and I think that hurts barbecue.
I think,
you know, I mean, you know, just if they laid it out right where, you know, people with porch trailers ask that question when they sign up, you know, what do you cook out of?
Right.
Are you using a porch trailer? If figure out how to back me up to the public, then where the public walks by and actually sees what's going on instead of me being backed into a corner.
Okay. We're going to take
you need that.
Yeah, you do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and finish up with Travis Clark, grand champion at the Invitational, right after this. Don't go away.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back, and I hope you're having a great weekend and can get in some grill and barbecue time. Get a little sauce on your shirt. Let's get back and bring you one of our more classic interview with Travis Clark and the Clark Crew Barbecue. Here you go.
If I was to say, Travis, if you have a bucket list for barbecue and that bucket list expires in 20 years, tell me some other things you'd like to do.
Ooh, man, I've already done everything and more than I thought I'd ever do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't even know. I mean, if I never won another contest, I'm happy. I really am. I started out, I wanted to win a contest and cook the Royal, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it. You know, I need to really think about another bucket list, but I've pretty much done it. Everything I wanted and more.
Well, is there anything you want to do outside of barbecue that you haven't been able to do yet, but maybe barbecue's giving you the chance to do it now?
You know, it has opened up a lot of doors. You know, I don't even know. I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, I want to get a restaurant going, and I want to be successful at that. But I really don't have nothing. I mean, we want to go to Disneyland. It sounds kind of cliche, but I mean, we really do. That's like our goal, to take the kids to Disneyland. That's about my last thing that I really always promised them I'd do.
How old are your kids?
Coop is 8, and Brooklyn's 9, Madison is 10, and Jennifer, my oldest, is getting ready to turn 18 in about a month.
And you've never been to Disneyland?
No, I haven't.
Well, there,
you know, when I was a kid, we never went anywhere. I mean, we never left the state, never took vacations. We didn't really do much. Yeah. And Mike, we've been everywhere, you know, the last few years. And that's kind of one of those things we got to get done, you know.
Well, if you grew up like I did, you know, when I was little, before we started competing with the horses, comparable thing for you would be big trip was driving over to Norman, you know, right, type thing. So
it's pretty basic. I just bought an old truck that me and my son are working on. You know, I'm a pretty basic guy. I don't need a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I don't need much, you know. So like I said, I've done everything I've ever set out to do, so I'm pretty content.
Well, you go win the Jack one day or something, and then you can, you know, retire from the barbecue circuit undefeated.
My goal at the Jack is to not be last place. I was last there last year, so it's not good.
Well, there's always room for improvement, Travis, you know, that they say.
I promise you, we won't miss turning in a category this year. We'll get them all in.
Oh, is that what you did?
Oh, yeah. We had 3 175s and a 0. We were on pace for well over a 700.
Holy.
And my daughter and wife was running the box and just didn't get it in. We were a couple seconds shy. So, won't happen again.
was there a family conversation about that afterwards?
You know, not really. Yeah. It was my fault. You know, I pulled everything back out and was trying to make it perfect, and I cut them a little short on what I should have. So at the end, it was my fault.
What a guy.
I would never admit that.
No, you wouldn't.
I would not admit that.
It's always someone else.
You know, it was, you know, it won't happen again.
No. Well,
good learning lesson.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You don't want to do it at a world championship, but why not? Not now. I joke and tell people that I tried to win it on 3 and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good line. I like that. Yeah. I really like that. Yeah. No, you can't look up and see 170s or 175s and then see a goose egg.
You know, all 3 meets were 175s. And I thought my chicken was, it sounds like you're just saying it, but it really was the best thing I had all day. It was awesome.
Yeah. So what one did you forget to turn in? Was it the chicken?
Yeah, it was chicken that we didn't get in. It, you know, and it showed myself. I mean, it sounds silly, but I mean, that really showed me that that I was a better cook than what I thought. I think most people, if you miss the first turn in, you're probably going to tank the next three, and I rocked them out, you know, 3 175s,
mm-hmm.
you know, after that. So to me, it really showed me something about myself, and, you know, it won't happen again.
I told you there's no smart chickens.
I blame chicken.
I'd blame the chicken, too. Yeah. I mean, who's going to contradict you? The chicken?
Right?
Come on. Jesus. Hey, before we go, I want to say first thank you to Travis for being with us, and good luck on the rest of the year on the tour.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
I want to thank all our affiliates up and down the line this weekend for airing Barbecue Nation, and thank you to our listeners for allowing us to share this time with you. For Dave, Chris, I'm JT. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation right here in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. Take care, everybody.
Well, it sure feels good to come in here.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.